you'll give me whatever I can have up here. I'm not going to get, you know, I've had a birthday since I was here. So I'm much older. I'm much older, wiser, and calmer. And, man, I've been in a lot of good services. I've heard a lot of good messages, but I don't remember a lot of them. And I've determined at this stage, you know, I'm going to save all that screaming and hollering for those young preachers now. And now we might get excited a little bit, but I really have learned that it's not doing a lot of good if there's not something you can take home, something you can live with, something you can hold on to and use every day. And I don't feel any pressure here today, but I really feel like God would have us give you something that you can take home and help you in your everyday walk with God. Amen. That's what it's about. You know, you can read the Word of God and you can find examples of where we're to run and talking about the race and all these things. But you find the word walk, and it is repeated over and over. This is a journey that we are daily walking with the Lord. And that's what we've got to have help, is daily walking with the Lord. Amen. Luke chapter 1, verse 68. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. Back to verse 72, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. One more verse back in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse number 31. And I don't know if this little cup of water is a sign not to preach very long, but I'm already halfway through and hadn't got started. So if anybody's got access to a bottle of water, I'd appreciate that. I promise I won't preach any longer. Oh, okay. That was mine. Well, it was already open, so I thought it was maybe yours, but I'll take it. Thank you. Jeremiah 31:31. This is actually one of the prophecies that the writer was speaking of. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Amen. And I want to, for just a few moments here this morning, I want to talk about a new covenant. A new covenant. Amen. Let's pray for the anointing to hear the word, to deliver the word today. Let's pray. Let's lift our hearts, our voices, ask God to have his way. Jesus, we love you. Thank you for your mercy, your kindness, your grace. Pray, God, you'd speak to us today, God. Open the windows of heaven, God. Pray the word of the Lord be delivered, God. We praise you, we honor you, we worship you today. God, we give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. It belongs unto you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. God bless you. May be seated. I hope you will give me a little bit of patience this morning. Allow me to build a foundation to kind of get where I want to go. But I want you to first and foremost understand that the word covenant simply means a contract or a binding agreement. It is a contract or a binding agreement. It's also an agreement that brings about a relationship of commitment between God and a people. It is a contract. It is a binding agreement that brings about a commitment of relationship between God and a people. Now, the very first time that the word a covenant is introduced to us is found in Genesis chapter 6, where the Lord makes a covenant with Noah. 8 times he speaks of the word covenant, and God tells Noah that if he will do his part, that God would keep him and would bless him. And so they entered into a covenant with the Lord. And while many rejected that covenant, Noah was happy that he signed the dotted line, I promise you. When the clouds rolled in and the rain began to fall and the fountains of the deep were broken up, Noah realized he got the better part of that deal. Amen. And a few chapters later, we see God introduce this word covenant again. Chapter 15, where God takes a man by the name of Abram. And God wants to enter into a covenant with him, but it is a little bit different kind of a covenant. It was a new covenant where God wanted to establish a people. The Bible says, and if you want to follow me any today, you're welcome to in your Bibles, Genesis 15 and 7, and he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? He said unto him, take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Now I'm going to try not to have too much of a Bible study here, but there's so much to this. Understand that God was very, very specific in what man was to do. This attitude that says, well, it really don't matter, we're all under a covenant of grace, that's not the kind of God that I read about. God is very, very particular and very specific on how we are to serve him. Amen. The Bible said in verse 12, when the sun was going down, that a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. I want you to notice here today that Abram entered into a place of complete vulnerability. It was a place where his will and his mind and his voice was completely dead. It was a place where Abram had no say at all. He had no control in this entire process. And I want you to know that there is a part of this covenant with God that has nothing to do with us and everything to do with God. It doesn't matter what we think. Doesn't matter what we say. Doesn't matter about our will. God said, this is what I'm going to do. This is all that I'm going to do. And it's going to be according to my perfect will. Amen. Nothing to do with you. But there is another part of this contract that has nothing to do with God, but everything to do with me and you. God has no say. God has no part. It's all up to me and to you. And God said, if I do my part, you've got to do your part. If you do your part, I'm going to do my part. That's all part of the contract. Help me, Lord. And so in verse 17, the Bible said, it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. Amen. The Bible declared that there was a horror of great darkness. And it was in that kind of an atmosphere that there appeared a smoking furnace and a burning lamp. I want to tell you, God still moves in times of great darkness. God's not intimidated by hours of great darkness. He's the God of light, and the night can't get so dark that it intimidates God. God moves in dark times.
And the Bible said that it was in that dark season that God passed through the sacrifices, letting man know that his part was pleasing, that his part was acceptable to God, that man and God were now entering into a covenant, amen, relationship. It was confirmed by a move of God, letting man know everything's all right, that now we're on the same page, letting man know you heard my word, you obeyed my voice, and now I'm going to move upon the scene. I'm going to confirm that things are all right between you and me. I want to tell you today that when God moves, it's not just so God can bless us, but God's showing us, I'm pleased by your sacrifice. Many times when God moves, it's a sign of God's approval. Not just so God can give you some goosebumps and you can say, my, didn't we have high church tonight? God's trying to show you, I'm pleased with what I see going on the earth. I don't want to be too harsh today, but can I tell you, as a matter of fact, if God's not moving, it's because God's not pleased. That's why God don't move in just every church, because God's not pleased with every message and every doctrine. But honey, when God looks down and God says, I like the message, I like what I see, God says, I'm going to confirm that by moving among the sacrifice. Honey, if God's not moving, amen, maybe, oh, help me, Lord. I'm saying, if God's not moving, it's not that God wants more praise. Maybe God wants us to re-examine our part of the covenant. And God wants us to examine, amen, ourselves. If that smoking furnace and that burning lamp's not moving, amen, among the congregation, maybe we shouldn't say we ought to jump higher and run faster. Maybe there'll be some repentance going on. And we say, God, if you're not moving, there's something you see that you don't like, God. And rather than pointing the fingers of blame and blaming everybody else, we ought to take time to kneel around the altar and say, God, woe is me. What can I change about my life? Tell you, this is where churches get off, brother. God's not moving like he used to move, and so we've got to have a new program. We've got to have special lighting. We got to have special effects, and we've got to bring in this, and we've got to compromise. We've got to do something because God's not moving the way he used to move. It's not God that's changed; it's man that's changed. Oh, come on, church. We don't need a brand new program. Get back to what's always worked. Repent of your sins and seek the face of God until God shows up and God says, I'm pleased with what I see. We don't need to change the message. Don't change the method, but stick to the old paths. Let's give God some praise. So in verse 18, the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. This was the blessing of God. This was God's part. This is what man could not do. But man heard the word of God. Man obeyed the voice of God. He did it just like God wanted to do it. And God comes down and confirms that man did it the right way. And then God says, all right, you did your part. Now I'm going to do my part. I'm going to give you what you couldn't get by yourself. I'm going to give you a godly inheritance. I'm going to give you this great, great land. I'm going to tell you what, you'll never go wrong obeying the voice of God. You'll never go wrong when you keep your part of the covenant contract. And so God says, I'll give you what you could not get yourself. In chapter 17, God further discusses this covenant with man. Man was to prove his desire to enter into this covenant by way of circumcision. In the book of Exodus, God remembers his covenant while Israel was in Egypt in bondage. They are delivered. In the book of Deuteronomy, we find where Moses is getting ready to endeavor to take the people into the promised land. And I like this in chapter 10 where he kind of just sums it all up into a nutshell, if you please. In verse 12, "And now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee?" Now this is Old Testament, but it still works today. He said, "But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good." That's Deuteronomy 10, 12, and 13. You ought to write that down. You ought to put that, amen, on a sticky note on your mirror. Read that every morning. God, what do you require of me? What do you expect out of my life? And it's all summed up right there. What he was saying is, just keep your part of the contract. Just keep your part of the covenant. Don't worry about houses and lands and vineyards. Don't worry about cancer. Don't worry about a job. Don't worry about all the things of life. You just do your part and say, God, you take care of that part. You don't worry about the things you can't handle. You just mind what you can't handle. And you serve God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Just do your part of the contract. And you watch God bless. And so in Exodus chapter 19, verse 5, after they are delivered, "Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people." Now let me stop right here and tell you. I hope this is okay today. But let me stop. You've got to understand, the people were slaves. Slave mentality. Physically beat. Mentally beat. Emotionally abused. They were the trash of the trash. They were disregarded. They were nothing. And all of a sudden, here comes deliverance. And he hits them where it matters the most. If you obey my voice, he said, I'll make you a peculiar treasure unto me above all the people. For all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. Amen. You've got to understand the value of those words to a people that had never been shown love, who had never been picked up and exalted. These were people that had been beat down and stepped on and ridiculed and mocked. All of a sudden, here comes a God that says, you won't be mocked. You're going to be loved. You won't be beat down. I'm going to raise you up. I'm going to make something special. You had nothing all your life. I'm going to give you, amen, things you didn't even work for. And God was raising them up. So that was part of the relationship, the covenant. Now, turn with me to Leviticus 26 and verse 3, where God explains the benefits. And again, this is all foundation. When we get there, we'll be there in a hurry. But God explains the benefits of this covenant relationship. Leviticus 26 and 3, "If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them," notice, this is what God's going to do. "I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time. Ye shall eat your bread to the full, and dwell in your land safely. And I will give peace in the land. Ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land. Neither shall the sword go through your land. Ye shall chase your enemies. They shall fall before you by the sword. And 5 of you shall chase 100. And 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. And your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. For I will have respect unto you, and make you fruitful and multiply you and establish my covenant with you. Hallelujah. Honey, can you imagine the mindset on that day where God, who just parted the Red Sea, told them, I'm going to do all this for you. Really? What's it going to cost me? What do I got to do? You just keep your part of the contract, honey. You just walk in my ways and keep my commandments, and you give me all you've got. I'll give you all I've got. So in Deuteronomy 28, we get a little bit more about the blessings of the covenant. Verse 1, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God shall set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. If, that's a big two-letter word. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shalt be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause an enemy that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way, and shall flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, and all that thou settest thine hand unto, he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee and a holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. Praise God. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, and the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the fruit of thy ground, and the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give thee rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow, and the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. Amen. God said, this is all part of the contract. Amen. I'll bless you going in. I'll bless you going out. The head and not the tail. The lender and not the borrower. I'm going to bless you above all nations. Somebody shout blessed. Come on, shout blessed. That was what God was offering Israel. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to keep you. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to preserve you. I'm going to fill your life, amen, with joy and gladness and peace. Take away the fear and the doubt. Take away the lowly beggar mindset. I'm going to lift you up. I'm going to raise you up. I'm going to exalt you and put my name on you and all the earth. It's going to call you blessed. No doubt somebody would have heard that and said, my Lord, where's that quill, and give me the dotted line and let me sign me up, Jesus. Sign me up. You can't beat a deal like that. I want this covenant. I want this contract. I don't find fault with it. I've looked at it thoroughly, and nowhere in this contract am I the loser. Nowhere in this contract am I going to be mishandled or mistreated. Sign me up! And you would think that anybody that would enter into this kind of a contract that would ever want to break that covenant would be a fool. Amen. To chase the gods of the world would be crazy. I'm going to tell you what, church, listen to me. Whatever you may find out there is not worth breaking the contract. Come on, some of y'all listen, not listening, I'm talking right to you right now. Whatever you find out there is not worth breaking the contract. There's no party. There's no drug. There's no thrill. Y'all can be seated. It's not worth getting mad over. It's not worth entertaining bitter feelings. I'm plowing right here, and I'm slow down here. It's not worth entertaining bitter feelings. It's not worth getting angry. It's not worth getting discombobulated and uncomplacent. Understand, I'm not going to trade my contract for all the money this whole world has to offer. It's not a thrill, not a party, not a boyfriend, not a girlfriend, not one thing. I'm holding on to my contract. It proves I'm more blessed in the church than I'll ever be in the world. Do you understand today that when God makes a contract, God gives. But when hell makes a contract, he takes. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. Why would you turn your back on that kind of program when God says, I'm going to raise you up and I'm going to give. When hell says, I'll beat you down and I'm going to rob you of your joy and rob you of your peace of mind. Come on, thank God for the covenant today. And so, I've said all of that to get to our scripture text today. This is what's going on in the minds of Israel. This covenant. This contract. And Jeremiah tells us, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts. It will be their God, and they shall be my people. And so there is a generation of men looking for this new covenant. And man, if this one was this good, what's a second one going to be like? And so they've got this mindset of this Messiah that's going to truly set them free and set his throne upon the earth. And I don't know what all they thought in their minds. No doubt all kinds of ideas they had that what was new Messiah was going to do in this new covenant and how life was going to change for them. And so here is Zechariah, and yes, God did remember his covenant with his people, but he didn't understand that God had a new covenant mind, maybe of a different sort, if you please, but it was a better covenant. For the Hebrew writer tells us that Jesus Christ was the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Oh man, how does it get more better than what they had? He said, I'll give you houses you didn't build, vineyards you didn't plant, I'll give you wells you didn't dig, I'll bless you going in and coming out. How do you get better than that? Man, but he said, for if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. Now, I just read a bunch of scriptures, bored some of y'all to tears. I didn't necessarily find a fault in that contract, but the book said it was not faultless. That contract had a fault in it. Amen. Amen. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews that he speaks about the tabernacle and the service of priest under the old covenant, the old contract. But he said, now Christ has come, who is a greater sacrifice. And through his blood, we enter into a new contract. I'm telling somebody, that Old Testament contract. It blessed your family. It blessed your cattle. It blessed your home. It blessed your city. But it left out the soul of a man. Man still needed a Savior from all his sins. And that's what Hebrews is saying in this brand new contract. I'll deal with your soul. I'll take away your sins. You may be blessed, but you'll still die lost. And so Jesus came to remove the burden and the cost of sin in your life. The brand new contract deals with the soul of every man. That's why Peter's message was so profound. He tells us how to enter into this brand new contract. He said, believe there's only one God and repent of your sins and be baptized in the saving name of Jesus Christ and be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's your part of the contract. Oh, let's praise Him together. Church, let's praise Him together. And so now, we don't enter into this covenant with God with three goats and three rams and three doves. We don't enter into this contract with God by the way of circumcision. We enter into this covenant with God by repenting of all of our sins. We still believe in repentance around here, don't we? Repenting of all our sins, getting water baptized in the saving name of Jesus Christ, and that blood washes away our sins. And then He begins to move, and He sees our sacrifice of repentance. Y'all with me? Don't leave me now. He sees us go down in a watery grave, and the name's applied, the blood's applied, and He begins to move. That holy burning furnace begins to move, and God sees a house that's been washed and clean. He begins to fill that vessel with His Spirit. Then there's that utterance, that divine utterance, where the Holy Ghost begins to speak forth, and a man speaks in unknown, unlearned tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. You know what that is? That's the sign that that smoking furnace and that burning lamp found sacrifice that was pleasing to Him. He said, I heard your repentant prayer. I felt your heart's prayer. I saw you take on my name in a watery grave, and now I'm going to dwell in this new temple. Amen. And here's that sign. I'll speak forth the words of life. You don't even understand, and that is this brand new contract. But hear me today, please. I'm getting where I want to be today. This is all part of a brand new contract, of a brand new covenant. And though some aspects have changed, some have stayed the same. Hallelujah. Amen. God still declares, if you serve me, I'll serve you. If you bless me, I'll bless you. You put me first, I'll put you first. You repent, I'll turn to you. Amen. What a deal. What a blessing. What a lifestyle. What an opportunity for God to look at little old me and say, I want all of you. And if you give me your best, I'll give you my best. Thank God for this covenant relationship. I'm telling you, I didn't have the finest car today, but I'm blessed beyond measure. Come on, somebody. You don't have the best house on the block, but I'm still blessed beyond measure. I'm not the wealthiest man. I'm not the most famous man, but I'm still blessed beyond measure. I've got the name. I've got the blood. I've got the Holy Ghost. I've got protection. I've got provision. I am blessed by a contract with God. I've said, hope this is okay today. I've said many times that Pentecost more than a religion. It's an experience. But the last year, God's helped me really understand something, Pastor. This is more than just an experience. This is a covenant. I'm going to tell you what, religion will fail you. Experiences may come and go. They'll come and they may fade away and be nothing but a faded memory. But this covenant with God is day by day by day by day. I never stop serving Him. He never stops taking care of me. It's not something that comes and goes. Here a little, there. No. It's every day, every day, every day. I'm in a contract with God. When I walk in the mall, I'm under contract with God. When I'm in a restaurant somewhere, I'm under contract with God. In a hotel room by myself, I'm in contract with God. On my cell phone, I'm in contract with God. Everywhere I go, I'm in a covenant with God. And God don't break His part, then bless God, I can't break my part. There's people not here today. I don't mean those that are gone working. There's people that have quit the church today, not because God broke His part, but because they broke their part. This is what I wish, God knows, I wish I could shake them until they see what I see. It's not just a good time you're trading this for. It's not just this little dude over here. You are breaking a contract with God. And when you break your part, God's not bound by His part. How in the world does a man expect to live in this world that we live in without the hand of God on his head? Kip, can I use you? I don't mess up these boys. I don't know what they put in their hair, but I know what's in your hair. I've told y'all this before, I guess. In fact, now Kip, he's all energy. He's all legs. We got to that big fellowship hall yesterday. All he saw was place to run. But he took off. He's nothing but legs and running, and sometimes we go places. I just put my hand right here. And he's just going to go. My job is to steer him. This way, this way, this way. Whoa. He's just running. He ain't got no brakes. Transmission got no reverse. Or sometimes I put my hand back here in his collar. Like a horse. Whoa, easy boy. Whoa, and his legs are keep going. I'm just, whoa, buddy, whoa. In fact, we was going somewhere the other day. He said, Dad, put your hand on my head like you do when you're preaching. I said, okay, I'll do that. It dawned on me one day, in this world we're living in, God, take that big nail-scarred hand, put it on my head, God, and don't take it off. Don't leave me alone. God, take that big old finger you've got that you etched out the Ten Commandments and tables of stone, God. The one that carved out the Grand Canyon and it carved out the oceans. Put that finger in my shirt collar and say, boy, you better hold on right here. You better not go one step further, boy. Don't you go left or right, but stay right where you're at. Because God, I understand this man cannot afford to live one day with that God's hand leading me and guiding me and directing my steps. I don't despise the contract. I thank God for the contract. Let's worship the Lord together today. In this world of sin, in this, we see, please, this world of pitfalls and heartaches and traps and snares, I need the hand of a God who sees the end from the beginning, that knows the first from the last, that God that sees and knows everything, to lead me and to guide me, steer me in every direction. So I try, and God, if I miss a day, I'm so sorry, but I try every morning to get up, go to my place of prayer and get on the floor and tell God every day, thank you, God, for this contract. I don't despise it. I don't find fault with it, God. I'm not trying to change it. You can't change perfection. God knows what he's doing. Why do we get so discontented with things, and why do we want to push and pull and try to change things? No. Don't try to change something. Fall in love with this covenant relationship with God. You'll be more blessed, I promise you. You'll be more prosperous. God's going to pick you up and not beat you down. God's going to change your life forever. I understand I'm dealing with a mentality that we all need to have. I did not come to preach just to claim your blessing message today. But I do want to tell somebody this book is full of a covenant relationship with God that was meant to bless you. Oh, God. I'm going to tell you what, this is not something you preach in just one service. This is something you've got to say over and over and over and over again, because Israel never really got that slave mentality out of their minds. They've been slaves for so long. I want you to hear me, Pentecost. We're living way beneath our means for far, far too long. My contract says, I'll make you the head and not the tail. You'll be the lender and not the borrower. And all the earth shall know that I am your God. God, and I'm blessing you. I'm leading you. I'm guiding you. And you should be more blessed than your neighbor is. We are content. We're content far too often to be the church on the other side of the tracks. Those poor little Pentecostals, man, they just don't have it all together, do they? We feel sorry for them. That should not be the mindset. I'm a child of God. He's got the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns the earth and the fullness thereof. That's my God. That's the other half of my contract. His name is on the contract. And because of that, I am to be blessed. Come on, let's love the Lord. Come on, let's love the Lord. Be seated. Will you give me just 5 more minutes? I don't mean I won't preach longer. It just means I'm getting hot. Amen. We are to be the blessed bride of Christ, a city set on a hill. We are to be the light and the example of the whole world, a testimony of what God wants to do, of what God can do when God changes one life, one life, one life. God gets no glory when God saves a soul and that soul never prospers. They never get bitter, never have joy, never have peace, never are blessed. But when the world sees God take your life and turn it all around, and God bless you and God floods your life with blessings, then God gets glory. Why are we to be the borrower when God said, I'll make you the lender? Why are we content to struggle when God said, I'll make you victorious? Why are we content to be sickly when God paid the price for healing virtue? Why are we running from a devil that ought to be running from us? Why do we wander in darkness when God said, I'm going to order your footsteps? Amen. You hear me today? America's full of churches barely hanging in there. Why is that? We've got God on our side. We should be blessed. We should be prosperous. We should be thriving and not just barely hanging on. We ought to be striving for greatness. I'm going to tell you right now, I made some phone calls this morning. I called the Baptist church and asked them to give us $1 million for this revival. They said, no luck here. I called the Lutheran church and asked them to donate $1 million to the building fund. And they said, no comprendo. And I called the Muslims. And I said, they could sell one of them bombs and give us $2 million. They just hung up on me. Well, I'm saying, if we're waiting on somebody out there to come by and just write a check,
That's not God, because then they get the glory. God wants to take you, who's been faithful in your tithing, faithful in your offering, faithful in your giving, faithful in your prayer life, faithful in your fasting, faithful in church attendance, loving God, walk with God, and God start blessing you here and blessing there. Raise you up here, open a door there, and as you get more blessed, the church is more blessed. God gives, and then you give, and God gives more, and then you give more. Before you know it, everybody's more blessed, and so is the church.
Well, you just don't understand the economy around here.
Yeah, I'm talking about money right now, okay? I'm talking about money. I've learned in Pentecost, you can talk about adultery, you can talk about homosexuality, but don't talk about money. Well, then we need to talk about money if that's how we feel about it. Because the love of money is the root of all evil. And the very reason you don't want me to talk about money is why I've got to talk about money. Because we need to talk about money. I'm pulling. I'm almost done. This is like a shot. Don't look. It'll be over before you know it. Now y'all maybe forget what I was even talking about. Thank y'all. Just a test. Just a test. But why is it that we should be content just to struggle? Well, you don't know the economy around here. You're right. I don't know the economy around here. And I guess the economy is so bad that the one that said, "Let there be light," and there was light, is looking at Augusta, Kansas, saying, "Can't help you guys, sorry." The one that rose from the grave is looking at your little situation, saying, "Sorry, you're on your own. There's nothing I can do." Is that the kind of God you serve? If that's the kind of God you serve, then you're wasting your time. You'll never get raptured out of this world. But I'm going to tell you what. It don't matter what kind of situation we're in, Pastor. I'm not talking about just money. I'm talking about our overall lifestyle. I'm talking about walking with God. I'm not talking about never having any more problems and no more bad days. I'm talking about a lifestyle, a mentality that says, I've got a contract that says I'm going to be more blessed than the world is because I am a child of the King. I refuse to be sick. I refuse to be bound. I refuse to die poor. I'm a child of God. And my contract says it ain't got to stay this way. The contract says I've got to be healed. The contract says I've got to be delivered. The contract says I've got to be blessed. It's all in my contract. Come on, let's praise the Lord together. Oh, come on, let's praise the Lord together. I've got a contract. I've got a contract. I'll give you an example today, and I've got several examples, but I'll just give you one. I've got a little lawn landscape business I do on the side. I got kids. Oh, I got kids. Haley's a senior. Haley's driving. She's got her own car. Boy, I feel old. But anyway, and I've kind of scaled it way down. But anyway, one day I was doing a cleanup job in the heat of the summer. And hours I'd worked, but I mean, when I got through, I was nasty. I was filthy, nasty, dirty, hot. And it wasn't a huge job, just it was hot and it was nasty. And I got paid, and it wasn't a lot, you know, $300-something, something like that. And I was headed to the bank, put it in. Deposit it on the way home. That little whisper. I said, "Boy, you worked hard for this money." It's amazing how that one little nudge and you can get like 5 minutes worth of conversation out of it. But that thought, "Well, you worked hard for this. Well, you're hot. You're nasty. You're sweaty. You're stinky. You worked hard for this." What kind of sacrifice would it be if you gave all of that to the work of God? And I've learned, when you feel that, do it. Do it. I mean, that's not the devil saying that. It ain't her saying that. That had to be God. And I thought, you know what, God? It's over. The work is over. I've done it. And you know, $300-something, yeah, it's a lot of money, but it's not that much money. And so I wrote the check, paid the tithe on it, and gave the rest of it, and offering or missions, whatever. Just put it in the bank. Before I went to bed that night, I got a contract on a landscape job. I forgot now what it was. You remember? It was a big one. But it was in the thousands of dollars, this job was. What I'm trying to tell you is, that's the kind of God that I serve. Now, I'm not telling you to put your whole paycheck in the offering. But I'm telling you, you can't outgive God. It's in the contract. God is bound by his own word. You'll never outgive God. And here we are, begrudgingly sometimes giving 10% tithe to God. But God's letting you keep 90%. And then you give your offering. And it's just me. It's just me. If your offering's any less than 5%, you're really not giving that much. And you wonder why you can't pay your light bill. Give your way out of your situation. I promise you it works. But I'm going to tell you what. God can do more with your 90% you've got left than you can with the 100% you want to keep. That's still good. God can do more with your 80% you have left than you can with 100% that you would keep. Ooh, I'm glad I've already preached a revival here. Amen. Because y'all not intimidating me. Amen. I know y'all believe this today. What I'm telling you is you cannot outgive God. When you wake up early in the morning and you come to the house of prayer and you walk these floors or you kneel down and you start praying to God, that's a sacrifice. It didn't cost you monetarily. It cost you physically. You cannot outgive God. When you push that plate back and you say, God, I'm fasting. You know what? You cannot outgive God. When you give God your time, your effort, your emotions, of your finances, you cannot outgive God. It's in your contract. Somebody get your contract back out and reread that thing and say, God, I'm living way beneath my means. I've been sick for far too long. I've been depressed for far too long. I've been broke for far too long. That's not in my contract. Be seated, please. And I'm closed. I'm sorry. How many of you are first-generation Pentecostals? Raise your hand. That means your parents were not. One, two. Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Can I tell you something? It's got to start with you. Your children have to watch God bless you so it gets in them. And they learn, my daddy kept the contract and look how he turned out. And they wouldn't dream of going another way. I'm going to tell you what, I know of young people that are third and fourth generation Pentecostals. And what I'm preaching about is all they've ever known. And my girls told me about a 15-year-old boy in their youth group. He's already flipped a house. Now, when I was 15, yeah, we would flip it with dynamite. But he's already helped buy it, gut it, fix it up, sell it at 15 years of age. Now, who put that in his mind? A generation before him. It said, son, you'll be the head and not the tail. You'll be blessed going in and blessed going out. Blessed in the city and blessed in the field. Somewhere we've got to raise up a generation. Pay your tithe. Give your offering. Pray every day. Pray every day. Walk with God every day. And let God bless your life. And let God order your steps. And let God put your life together. I'm going to tell you right now, and I won't say you, I'll just say me. I don't want my kids to live the heartache I've had to live, because this hard head had to get beat against the wall until the light finally came on. Because my daddy was a backslider, and my daddy didn't teach me some of these things. And I love my dad, I'm not knocking that, okay? You understand the situation. But somewhere, mom and dad, we've got to raise up a second generation. And we've got to tell them every day, I don't care what the world says. I don't care what the world does. Hear, Israel, the Lord thy God is one. If you'll serve him with all you have, you will be blessed beyond measure. He'll give you the right spouse. He'll give you the right job. He'll give you the right environment. And you will be blessed. And you will be blessed. And you know what? When you're blessed, and your kids are blessed, and God, Terry's, your grandkids are blessed, you know what we're doing? We're not in this building right here. We've got $5 million property out there on the main drag in a $3 million building. And we are the light that the whole town drives by and they see. How does that happen? God just keeps adding the blessings. And we just keep giving more. And God gives more and we give more. And God gives more and we give more. And we give more of our time and God gives us more time. And we give and we give and we work and we do all these things. Why? Because it's all in the contract. God, your word says, if I would serve you with all of my heart, God, all these blessings would not just come, but overtake me. Anybody want that in your life? Anybody interested in serving that kind of a God? Why don't you stand with me right now and raise your hands? I'm sorry I went so long today, but I'm trying to tell somebody there is a place in God you can get to where God does so many things for you. It's all in that contract, friend. It's all in that contract, friend. Come on, lift your voice. Come on, lift your voice. Come on, lift your voice.